Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hear my cry.
Tuned in to the most powerful show for truth anywhere on the face of planet Earth. You are tuned into the voice of the entire nation of Islam, the Star and Crescent Report. As always, we open up in the name of our Lord and Savior, Master Farad Muhammad, the Almighty, All-Wise, True and Living God, who has come to us this day and granted us the greatest blessing and mercy that can be given to any people at any time and any place, in the personage of the last and most surely the greatest of the apostles, prophets, and messengers of God to ever live. We speak about none other than our leader, teacher, and guide for these final days of judgment, the most holy and humble, Elijah Muhammad. And we greet all of our listening and viewing audience with the greetings of peace, love, and paradise. In the original language of Arabic, which means peace be unto you, we say to you all in both their names with love, I say, Assalamu alaikum. For those of you who may wish to participate in our discussion today, you're welcome to call in at 347-989-0855. That's 347-989-0855. Or you can hit us up with a message at Hiram1555@yahoo.com. That's Hiram1555@yahoo.com. As always, we'd like to thank you for giving us another hour of your day and another day of your time. We'd like to thank the thousands of you who listen live from around the globe and the thousands of you who will download us later from all of our affiliate sites, be it Hiram1555.tumblr.com, Twitter.com, /Hiram1555, facebook.com/Hiram1555, blogtalkradio.com/Hiram1555, and our main news blog, which is formerly trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com, and also formerly salamjournal.com and salamjournal.org, which is now the Hiram1555 blog at Hiram1555.com. Come again, my beloved family, I say unto you all, Assalamu alaikum. And this is an edition of the show that we call Your Place in the Judgment. I'm going to be laboring hard, brothers and sisters, to try to get this truth over to you because, as I said, I have a raspy cough. And it really is bothering me, but we don't have excuses. We come before the people with the truth, and we give it our all every time, brothers and sisters. No excuses. No lies, no excuses. You know, we do what the messenger did. The messenger had bronchitis. He had asthma. And never did he give an excuse, even if he had to cough on the air or cough or have to have water given to him while he was teaching. We must do the same thing because that's our prime example, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. So you don't get any excuses. Because this is the judgment today, and we must know our place in the midst of this judgment. Excuse me. I want to bring a few things to your attention today. Certain things that are going on, they are snowballing. Over in the Middle East, America, and we told you this, as she was talking about she was coming out of there, we told you that Allah would put hooks in her jaws and bring her back over there. Do you remember just a month ago? She was saying that no boots on the ground. Remember, she said that in Libya too, didn't she? And then there were boots on the ground, but we're going to only deploy a few troops over there to protect the embassy, right? Then it went from that to we're going to deploy a couple hundred advisors. Then it went from that to we're going to deploy 300 more troops over there. Now it's 300 and some more troops over there. Britain is deploying more troops over there. What did we tell you? The devil a lie, but the Honorable Elijah Muhammad words are 100% the truth. Regardless of what you think you see, hear, or know, you must all judge that by what Messenger Muhammad says, because how do you know that he's right? It is just like knowing that the sun will come up the next day. There's a high probability because all the previous days before it happened, right? The same with the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Everything that he has taught us, we can point to. We can show it to you. Whether it's historical, whether it's scientific, whether it's mathematical, or whether it's prophetic, everything that he has said has happened or is happening right now. There's no denying it. That's why we don't run from people and we tell them that we are here to prove the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, because they're easy to prove. Because they're happening right now. Now, as all of these things unfold, and we see America being drawn back in to the Middle Eastern powder keg, and we see the war positioning in Europe for that great war, and we see the Asian pivot for that war over there, one must ask themselves, what is your place in the judgment? What are you doing in this day and time to prepare yourself, because you must become a self-savior and stop worrying about everybody else and try to prepare your life to make it out of this world. You must become a self-savior. Some of us, we hear these words, self-savior, like those 5%ers, and we go crazy because the truth is not really rooted in us anymore. And we start, I'm Lord and Master. I'm a savior, like the savior. I'm this and you misunderstand and you twist these words because you have a perverse heart. And that's why the Quran tells us that in this book, you know, he tells us about two ways. One is decisive and one is the allegorical. And those whose heart is full of perversity takes the allegorical. That's what you do a lot of the time. You hear what the messengers say, but you don't hear him. If you understand what I'm saying, you hear it, but you don't hear the in-depth of what he is teaching us, the underlying fact or truth in what he's teaching us. So you misrepresent, you misteach, and you misspeak on what he is meaning. So today, with all of these things unfolding and the buildup for thermonuclear war and confrontation and war everywhere, again, I ask you about your place in the judgment. What are you doing to try to save you and try to prevent the death of you and your loved ones today? Because this thing is so serious that you can lay down and close your eyes and be awakened by the beeps on the TV saying this is a national emergency, X, Y, and Z is happening. It can happen at any time. The markets are that way. The police are in a state of constant preparation for not suburban warfare, but they say they are prepared for what? Urban warfare. Never do you hear them say they're prepared for suburban. They always say that they're doing black ops, preparing for urban warfare. Well, what is the code word for the black community in America? Urban. The urban scene, right? The inner city. So they are preparing to take you out. But I'm telling you that there is a safety zone that you don't need money for, that you don't need to run to with begging for this and begging for that. If you run to it with your heart right, your head right, and your arms outstretched. That safety zone is the teaching of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. Because this is a war on every level today. And the only way that you can make it out of here is as a follower of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. I'm not talking about in words. I'm talking about in deeds. So what is your place in the judgment? Huh? Because we see judgment everywhere. You don't believe judgment is everywhere. I want you to listen to this real quick. All right.
Now, Russia says that Ukraine should start talks about statehood in the country's southeast.
We need to immediately begin substantive talks on questions of the political organization of society and a statehood in southeastern Ukraine, with the goal of protecting the lawful interests of the people who live there.
Well, this is the first time that Putin has talked about statehood in eastern Ukraine, where a civil war is going on. Putin's spokesman says, however, the Russian president doesn't urge for separation of Ukraine's eastern regions and that they should remain part of Ukraine. And he adds that Putin just called for a dialogue between Kiev and the breakaway regions. Well, Donetsk and Luhansk regions of Ukraine unilaterally declared independence from Kiev back in May. They also called on Russia to consider accepting the region's integration. Russia hasn't publicly supported the appeal. Let's cross over to Ohio, joined by veterans today, Gordon Duff. Thank you so much for being with us. Looking at the situation now, what exactly does it mean? What are you reading from the latest situation coming out of Moscow? Now, basically saying that Ukraine should look at state, making this a state as far as the eastern region. What exactly do you think that Mr. Putin means by this?
I think that he's engaged in a political long game, playing with what he looks as an attempted and resurgent NATO. NATO lost its military teeth many years ago, that it's trying to recreate a military presence right on Russia's border, built out of Polish artillery units, American missile systems, America's Navy in his backyard in the Black Sea, American bases in Romania, while what was the heart of NATO, the Third Army, 500,000 men in the middle of Germany, those people are long since gone. The real NATO is long since gone. NATO right now is playing a simple political game. And frankly, I think he sees signs that NATO's long game is to move into Russia itself and do the same thing in Russia that they've done in Kiev.
Well, in general, Mr. Duff, now you're saying that basically NATO has lost its bite compared to before. So if this is the case, why are they continuing? It appears to pressure Moscow, because as you said, they're right on Russia's border. And no, basically, it's just a matter of time before the Russians really react. So why do you see what appears to be this exerted pressure by NATO right now on Russia?
Well, I think NATO's, and by NATO, I'm really talking about the little gang that lives around Victoria Nuland, people out of the State Department and the oligarchs and neo-fascists out of Kiev. They have a counterpart in Moscow. If Putin allows himself to be pushed in Moscow, where he becomes repressive, if sanctions can have an adequate effect to destroy the Russian economy, they're going to weaken Russia. Russia is the real prize. Nobody wants the Ukraine and NATO. Nobody wants the Ukraine and tens of millions of job seekers to flow into the EU, which is already an economic disaster. What they want is access to Russia's endless resources. Mm-hmm. And Russia has left itself economically vulnerable. It's a mistake they had made when they developed a mono economy. Experts are seeing that. There is a strong fifth column in Moscow, and they're hoping Putin makes mistakes, and he has not been making mistakes. He's going to end up crushing the EU unless they buckle under to what he wants. We're seeing that happen.
Well, also, we have seen more sanctions now being put on Moscow. And if you monitor mainstream media, they're talking about the pressure that Moscow is actually feeling, as if to say that it is actually just Russia that is under pressure. What about these economic sanctions, though? How has it affected actually the opposite parties, the Europeans themselves? And will Russia increase sanctions against the EU, in your perspective?
You know, you don't have to do anything to the EU that are not already doing to themselves. The German economy is heading toward a tailspin. Thousands of German industries have gone to their government and asked them to abandon the idea of sanctions. Russia is their biggest market. It's going to destroy the German economy, which is far more fragile than people admit. France is looking at the same thing. These sanctions are already hitting far stronger in the EU, and if it's going to be a game of playing to see who lasts longer, Putin has political will that you will not see out of the EU, and Germany has already blinked.
All right. We'll be keeping our eye, of course, on that story in Ukraine. Appreciate you being with us out of Ohio, Mr. Gordon Duff from Veterans Today.
You see the game that is being played geopolitically and economically. All of the pieces for that war that Mohammed described in Europe are being put into place. The deployment of weaponry to caves in Europe for storage. The deployment of whole fighter units from the Air Force, the United States Air Force. The deployment of troops. The war games in Kiev that'll go on this month. All of these things are precursors to that war in Europe that will be devastating. All of this is precursors. They think that they are controlling the matters when in reality, Allah has taken over their heart and their mind, and they're doing exactly what he had said that they would do. This is how prophecy is fulfilled. But all while we're looking there, and everybody sees the big blow up in Europe, there is a great buildup for war in the Middle East. America and NATO and Israel are using ISIS or ISIL or whatever acronym they want to put on there to destabilize and uproot firm governments. They want to keep the Arabs divided or the Muslims divided. They want to promote greater Israel. But there's a problem with all of that. And these problems stem from the time, because time brings about all things, and now time is bringing about prophecy, and it must be fulfilled. wherein that America comes out of the Middle East, but first she must be drawn into the Middle East. As Muhammad says, where is my book at? If you look in Message to the Black Man somewhere, in there, he talks about them being pulled into the Valley of Jehoshaphat. This is what he says. And in there he says, in Asia and Europe, and he also talks about the Mediterranean in certain parts of the book. All right? This is what we see right now. Isn't that where America and NATO is being pulled into? We see the deployment of weapons all over North Africa, all over the Middle East. We see the deployment of troops. Why? Why now? Because America, England, France, Germany, Canada, all of the NATO nations are in an economic tailspin, as Mr. Gordon Duff says. All of them rely on the resources of Africa and the Middle East to maintain their sway, their power, and their rule over the globe. Without these free mineral resources, natural resources, and precious metals, and nearly free labor from the continent of Africa, the Middle East, Europe would devolve into a sixth, not a third, not a fourth, not a fifth, but a sixth world nation, because it has little resources of its own. So they got rid of Brother Gaddafi. They're trying to get rid of all who opposes Anglo supremacy. Now, isn't this something, as it pops in my head, that Mr. Obama, black man, is so hung up on America's unity with Europe and putting a European missile shield in Europe? Why isn't he that concerned about Africa? Huh? Why, if he is truly an elected president and has a free will, and he is the commander-in-chief, and he has the final say on everything, and he doesn't have any puppeteers, why isn't he focusing on his own kind? Why isn't he focusing on putting an African missile shield to protect the African nations from Western aggression? Huh? It is because, brothers and sisters, it matters not who occupies the office, because all of them are figureheads to a power behind the scene. And that power behind the scene is bucking up with another power, an unseen force that is now being felt. And that new force, that new unseen power, is Master Farad Muhammad. And that other power has no power concerning this power. Listen to what they're doing, brothers and sisters. You got to awaken to what's going on, okay?
With respect to the issue of the United States taking military action against ISIS or ISIL or IL, whatever they are calling this organization right now, my response to the people that have been asking me about this is that if you want to get to the root of the problem and remove this organization, the first thing they need to do is remove the funding and take care of the entities responsible for the creation of this group, and that would bring the forces here at home, because clearly this is entirely a farce. This is a completely fabricated enemy. The funding is completely from the United States and its allies. And for people to think that this enemy is something that needs to be attacked in Syria or Iraq is a farce, because obviously this is something that we created, that we control, and only now it has become convenient for us to attack this group as a legitimate enemy. And clearly, when they say that they don't need permission to go into Syria and attack that country, one can only imagine how long it will be before they are dropping bombs on the home of Bashar Assad. So I think that this is a complete farce, and I think that the American public, I would like to believe that they are not completely ignorant of the source of this, but obviously these tactics that they are using with the executions, the videotaped executions or alleged executions, are designed to create massive amounts of fear and cause a response here at home, or a knee-jerk reaction, if you will, to authorize more spending and more bloodshed and more warfare. But again, not to change the subject, but this is almost like Ebola, which everyone is also getting upset about. And we know that this has been patented by the U.S. government, and this is just another terror weapon. So I believe that this ISIS group would probably go away and would be easily defeated by the armies of Bashar Assad, perhaps, if they were left alone to their own ways and their own sources of funding. I am very disappointed that so many people think that this is an attractive group to join, but I suspect that there are people who are disillusioned with the current power structure of the world, and they think that this may be an effective way of making a lot of big changes in the world. But ultimately, I believe that this terror organization is a complete fabrication, and that the true source of the problem is probably ultimately going to rest within our own government, or perhaps even banking cabals and Rothschilds and the usual sources for all this sort of thing.
The devil is a liar, isn't it? Didn't the Bible teach you that? The messenger teaches us that this white man, especially this wicked American white man, as a deceiver, has no equal. Whenever he wants to wage war, he always demonizes somebody. He always has an enemy out there to fight, right? Perpetual warfare. After he supposedly killed Bin Laden, another boogeyman comes up. And all of these boogeymans, notice that they always come up in nations that America had tried to war on, right? Think about that. The nations that wouldn't bow to her, all of a sudden, they're infested with these people whom America has deemed as enemy number one and justifies her way of going into these nations, right? She is a liar and a deceiver, and she abides not in the truth. The truth is not in her. So the God of truth has come today to remove the opposition to the truth, which the main pillar of opposition is America and NATO. He has come to remove the entire civilization of opposition called the Caucasian world. So we see a lot of turmoil. We see a lot of dissatisfaction. A point of dissatisfaction is 100% today, which means that we must have an entire universal change. And so you see all of these things and the happenings. They're telling you about solar flares and space dust, and they're finding things at the edge of our galaxy that they've never seen before, and finding clusters of stars and whatever they, supernovas. Why? They're telling us about climate change. Huh? They're saying that we're experiencing a change in the atmosphere. Why? Whenever there's a longing for change, change must come. Remember that Yakub produced this world, this Caucasian people, out of 30% dissatisfaction. Now we have reached a state of 100% dissatisfaction. Therefore, it must be a universal change. And we see all of the signs in the heavens and the earth that there is something taking place which you are not acquainted with. An entire change from the top to the bottom. Right? There's a need for that. There's a longing for that. Because this is the judgment. And again, I go back to the question about what are you doing, your place in the judgment. Because it's here. And everybody sees a turning point. Whether it's Africa, whether it's the Middle East, whether it's Europe, and now whether it's Asia, listen to this clip, okay?
Beijing has called on Washington to limit its aerial surveillance of China. Some naval officers are even seen pushing for fighter pilots to intercept spy planes. Anger was sparked last week when a Chinese fighter jet intercepted a U.S. Navy Poseidon anti-submarine aircraft. The American plane was flying close to China's naval bases on its islands in the south. American officials claim the Chinese jet performed a barrel roll at one point, coming within 10 meters of their plane. China hit back, saying it was keeping a safe distance and that reconnaissance mission posed a threat to its core security interests and could be considered as a hostile act. Every year, the U.S. files about 500 missions around China, as well as monitoring from the sea and from satellites. Andrew K.P. Leung, a specialist on China, says Beijing could take serious actions if it feels it's being threatened.
I think this is part of the great power rivalry between America and China, especially over the South China Sea, which to China, of course, is an essential and critical channel for the supply of energy as well as trade, but also as a conduit for China's naval forces into the Greater Pacific. Particularly, a lot of the Chinese top-class nuclear-armed submarines are based in Hainan Island. Nuclear-armed submarines is part of this a kind of asymmetric warfare, because China is no match with America as far as aircraft carriers are concerned, and indeed a lot of the top-edge military hardware in terms of the Hainan Island is a very, very sensitive asset to China, so China has got to take a very a tough stand on this.
Now, this is going on, and I was listening to a report off the Global Post, one of the videos, and they were talking about that China has relayed to the United States that if they keep on, China will respond and by intercepting all spying planes and by sending their own spy aircraft off the U.S. coast. What does this symbolize? It symbolizes what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says, that in the time of her downfall, that she would be surrounded by her neighboring nations, and how they would buck up against America and see China, a growing power. She's not growing in this day and time because of her own self. She's growing because of what God had ordained, that the yellow man that would chase down this white man of America, just like the white man of America chased down our red Indian brother. Muhammad spoke it. Time has brought it about, and we see it right here before our eyes, that all of these times are now being fulfilled. Think about this. Muhammad, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, introduced to us a five-year economic program. I know what you're saying. No, it's a three-year. Listen to what I'm saying. Muhammad originally introduced a five-year economic blueprint. But fearing your impatience, he reduced it to a three-year economic program, right? China, India, and the Asian nations took the five-year economic program that was introduced by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, right? And look at them today. I'm serious. Look at this. China is on its 15th or 13th, something up in there, five-year program. Now her economy, before she introduced the program that the Honorable Elijah Muhammad had introduced for us, and of course she modified it a little bit for her people, but before then, China was one of the poorest nations on earth. Millions were starving. People were living in tents and huts and out on the streets or whatever, and now China has the most powerful economy in the world, right? Rivaling that of her number one enemy, America. She has become the largest manufacturer, the largest buyer, importer, the largest exporter, right, in the world. She has the largest purchasing power of any economy in the world. She has built up her Air Force, her Navy, and her Marines off the economic progress of her manufacturing and scientific progress from introducing the five-year economic program laid out by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. They say that she's the number two economy, but in purchasing power, she's the number one economy in the world. India. Now, remember, China is a land of almost 4 billion people. India is a land of 1.1 or 1.2 billion people, which is one of the poorest countries on earth. and they have introduced a five-year economic program. I think they're on their 10th one. And they have become the third or the fourth largest economy in the world. Right? But the program was for you. You didn't do it. And look at the condition of you today in America. The people modified what Elijah had put for us. And look at them. Independent, rising, and powerful. And look at you who refuse to put it into practice. You are divided, arrogant, evil, despicable, and detrimental to the cause of liberating your own people. Isn't that something? This is the judgment. I'm asking you about your place in the judgment. Huh? Are you listening? You better listen, because war is inevitable. War is coming, and you better get yourself together. I want to play something by Mr. William Ingall, and then I'm going to follow it up with another clip. I'm trying to get as many clips as I can in, and then we're going to go into something, because the Honorable Elijah Muhammad talks about your place in the judgment. And we'll go to Fall of America to explain these things, okay? All right? Brothers and sisters, don't think harsh of me. Don't think harsh of Brother Minister John. What I'm trying to get to you is that God is always right, and the messenger is always right. Before I go to the clip, I want to bring something. I was talking to a brother a few days ago. He and I and my wife were talking on the phone, and the brother laughed out on the West Coast. And when my wife told him, she said, "Let me tell you something. I don't care what my husband thinks. If he finds out that the messenger said something else, and after he, when he ponders over it and he studies it, and he says the messenger said this and he meant this, I don't care what he had been holding dear to him, he immediately drops it and says the messenger is right and he was wrong." This is a testament to who I am, brothers and sisters. I don't care what, right now, if you show me where I'm wrong, I am man enough to say, you know what, I was wrong on that. I'm going to go over here with what the messenger said, because I know that his God is right, and he is right, because the book says that that lamb had no spots nor blemishes. I'm not the lamb, so I had to have some spots and a few blemishes. Hell, I probably had a whole bunch of them. But I know the lamb is pure, and I know that he is right, because God fashioned and molded him after himself, and he became the second self of God, perfected in all of his ways. Hast thou considered my perfect servant? That's what the book says. He was perfect and is perfect. It wasn't talking about me. So I can be wrong, but I know that Elijah can't be. All right? Let us go into something for a few minutes. I want you to pay close attention to this, all right? From Mr. Ingall, about the mind state and how the leaders are going insane, talking about NATO and Ukraine. We're going to tie all this in, and we're going to play. I think I'm going to try to get at least three clips in, but we're going to tie all this in to scripture, okay? All right, listen to this right here. Here we go. If they allow me to play.
Let's go live to geopolitical analyst William Ingall and author of Full Spectrum Dominance. Thanks very much for coming on to the program again. What steps do you think Kiev could be referring to, do you think?
The steps in regard to what exactly?
They backtracked on their earlier statement of a ceasefire, saying that they're now putting forward steps for a possible truce.
Well, it's very unclear at this point. I think there's a deep split, a cleft between Poroshenko's faction and Yatsenyuk, who is the golden boy of Victoria Nuland, the State Department neoconservatives in Washington. And I think the more the situation in East Ukraine develops into a catastrophe for the demoralized Ukrainian army forces that are trying to destroy the place, ethnic cleanse it, the more that happens, that they aren't successful, the more that split between Poroshenko and Yatsenyuk, the prime minister, is going to manifest itself, and how that plays out is very unclear at this point. I don't hold much weight by any of the steps that Yatsenyuk, when he's talking about full NATO membership for Ukraine, something that's akin to lunacy in my book.
Why is there this big division, do you think, in the Ukrainian government?
Well, I think it's the fault lines run on different interest factions. Poroshenko's business interests lie very much in eastern Ukraine, and the agenda of the Pravi sector, the interior minister, and certainly of the neoconservative hawks in Washington is to create and this is the only interpretation possible since March of this year, to create such a destruction in the eastern Ukraine as to destroy the economic relationship between Russia and especially Germany, but Russia and the European Union. And that is the major goal. I think the other thing is that the very powerful interest, the vested interest behind the U.S. military industrial complex, behind the Wall Street banks, see this as the only way to save the dollar system from complete collapse and the diminution of American hegemony, American power globally, because this is a do or die, life and death thing for this Western elite in Washington and also in London around Cameron. So
we're just running out of time. Just one last question.
Sure.
Do you think that the West's opinion could be influenced at all by the fact that the OSCE is going to see for itself the destruction in the Donbass region? Do you think what they'll say after seeing that firsthand could change opinion at all?
I would hope so, because the pictures that I've seen are just devastating. It's human destruction of an unimaginable scale. The Nazis during World War II didn't achieve anything more complete than what I've seen from the Kiev Ukrainian destruction of East Ukraine. I don't think, however, the propaganda machine driving this from NATO, from Washington, is such that reality doesn't intrude on their propaganda. It's just a pilotless drone of lies and deceptions that is coming from Washington, coming from London, and we need some voices of sanity and reason. They are beginning to come out in Mearsheimer's article in Foreign Affairs, in the retired intelligence officer's open letter to Merkel from Washington. These are signs. Merkel is being lied to on faulty intelligence, fake photos and so forth that are being presented by Kiev, by Yatsenyuk's government to justify severe NATO sanctions. And this is stepwise a move toward World War III and certainly toward a new Cold War. And that Europe certainly doesn't need. The world doesn't need it.
Okay, thank you, William. Thanks for your thoughts on this. That's William Engel, a geopolitical analyst. Thank you.
So, a few things that were said there. A new Cold War, moving towards World War III, all of those things can be found in the fall of America again. The devil thought that they had beaten prophecy when the Iron Curtain fell. They thought, remember the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that it would never be settled in peace. And the devil thought that he had beat prophecy. When the wall came tumbling down and all you saw were the pictures of the people jumping over the wall and going into the western part of Germany, right? They thought that they had proven God to be a liar. But now you're seeing all of those things bubbling up. They didn't realize that they didn't tear the wall down. Allah removed the wall, as the Quran tells us, that Allah removed that wall or that curtain that separated Gog and Magog, right? What did they call that wall that was in Berlin? The Iron Curtain, right? Allah removed it. In the book, the Quran tells us that when he removed it, hell was in view, right? That Gog and Magog would sally forth. And now we see the hell that was in view right now as all of the nations stand on edge for war and the threat of war. Thought that they had beaten prophecy and find out that they were ensnared by prophecy. And now we see the outcome of the collapse of the wall. The Cold War never ended. It just went underground. until Russia built up her strength to challenge America. And now Gog and Magog have been let loose. And you see Russia in South America. You see America on Russia's border. You see Russia in the Mediterranean. You see America in the Mediterranean, right? You see Russia in Asia. You see America in Asia. Gog and Magog had been let loose to sally forth and reduce the earth to a veritable hell, just as the Holy Quran had predicted it would do, right? Listen to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says. And listen to what Mr. Ingdahl said about they have been confused. And it is sheer lunacy, their problems, their plans, their actions, their deployments, their thinking. It's sheer lunacy. Listen to what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says. Do you think that you can get away with fighting Allah? No wonder the second psalm says that he will sit in the heavens and laugh at those who are trying to fight against him. He will have you crazy. It is true. The heads of the governments of the Christian world are confused, and they do not know that they are confused. Why? Because their greatest desire was to confuse us. Now Allah has taken the confusion out of us and put it into them. Isn't that what Ingdahl said? Sheer lunacy, right? In words, that's exactly what Elijah Muhammad said. This is the judgment. You need to know your place in it. And you see all of these things taking place, and you now see war and the threat of war in Europe. We knew that that was coming. We're going to turn to page 218 because we got to address this before we go to the other clips. This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says right here. It starts on 217 and flips over to 218 for those of you who are following along in Fall of America. He says, the angry nations refer to white America and Europeans who are also enslavers of the black man. Take, for instance, the part that England, Belgium, Germany, France, and Italy have all played in the enslavement of black Africans and black people throughout Africa, Asia, and here in the Americas, North and South America. There is no such thing in the nature of white people as justice and freedom for black people, especially not for blacks in the Western Hemisphere. Now their anger is running them mad, and they are attacking and killing each other. There is no such thing as peace among them, nor can they produce peace for others. The Holy Quran refers to this condition as the kindling up of hell. Never before have you witnessed the evil that is spreading far and wide every hour of the day in America and Europe, right? What's going on in America? Don't you see all the rioting? Don't you see the cause for justice, right? Don't you see the people rising up against becoming poor and poverty-stricken? And what's going on in Europe? They are fighting a war for geopolitical supremacy. You have never seen this in your days. They are going mad because God has smitten them with insanity. Right? This is what Elijah Muhammad was saying to us. Right? And so you have got to awaken and see what's going on. So we're going to go to the next clip. All right? We're going to try to get these clips in real quick so that you can get a full insight of what's going on. Listen to this next clip.
Well, amid the ongoing conflict in Ukraine, a senior Kremlin official says that Russia will adjust its military doctrine in response to NATO plans to boost its presence in Eastern Europe. The deputy head of the National Security Council, Mikhail Popov, has accused the Western military alliance of ratcheting up tensions by boosting its military presence near Russia's borders. The official added that the U.S. is planning to deploy heavy weaponry and military hardware, including tanks and armored vehicles, in Estonia and other Baltic states. He noted that the move is indicative of the U.S. and NATO's desire to continue their policy of aggravating tensions with Russia. He termed the U.S. missile system plan in Eastern Europe as another threat to Russia's security. Host of Voice of Russia radio station, Mr. Dmitry Babich, joins us now from the Russian capital, Moscow. Mr. Babich, welcome to the program. It seems that Russia is not taking lightly U.S. and NATO efforts in Ukraine and countries surrounding Russia. It has now promised to revamp its military doctrine in response to these efforts. Tell us more, please.
Well, I think it just shows that Russia is becoming realistic about the intentions of the United States and especially of the European Union towards it. For 25 years, Russian military doctrine avoided calling NATO a security threat to Russia. You know, in the backstage talks, the military raised alarms. They said that NATO is trying to encircle Russia. You know, there were new NATO bases on the territories which used to belong to the Soviet sphere of influence. But most of the Russian elite, the Russian leadership, believed that cooperation with the West was possible and that NATO is not really a potential aggressor. Now we see that, in fact, the European Union and the United States, they destabilized Ukraine, they plunged Ukraine into a civil war, and now they say that it's not a civil war in Ukraine, that it's a Russian invasion, and they're planning new bases for some reason in Estonia, which is just, 2 minutes flight from St. Petersburg, the second capital of Russia. They plan to have new bases in Poland, right on the border in Russia. So, of course, it's a security threat, and the Russian military doctrine is going to recognize its reality.
All right, we're going to leave it there. Mr. Dmitry Babich joining us from the Russian capital, Moscow.
Now, what's significant about that? Remember, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says that Russia and America are after each other. Now, Russia is smart. America is pretty smart. We like them both like that. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that in Our Savior After Ride, page 54, I believe it is. But on 231 of The Fall of America, he says this. There is still the Cold War in Berlin between America and Russia and other parts of Europe to be reckoned with. See, everybody thought that it was just about Germany, right? But then he said in other parts of Europe to be reckoned with, meaning that there was going to come a day that they would have to face up to that, right? Everybody was focused on East and West Berlin, but there was other parts that had to be faced up to. This is what he said. If you go and read his words, listen. There is still the Cold War in Berlin between America and Russia and in other parts of Europe to be reckoned with, right? That day of reckoning is now, East and West Ukraine. And there's still a Cold War in Berlin because Germany, America knows it's the linchpin of her power in Europe, and Germany is bucking up against American power. But listen what he says after that. Europe will become a dreaded spot when America leaves Asia. So first, let's stop right there. So when America leaves Asia, Europe will become a dreaded spot. So now we see that America's pivot to Asia will lead to her being forcibly ejected out of Asia. And once the ejection takes place, then you can look for a thermonuclear exchange in Europe. Are you listening? This is what he says. Europe will become a dreaded spot when America leaves Asia. It is true, as the prophets have predicted, that America must come out of Asia or be thrown out. Each, America and Russia, the two most powerful war factors of the world, is seeking to maintain their rule over the nations of the earth and even to conquer outer space. That's what you see right now. Both of them are vying for power, influence, and might. And so they're sallying forth against each other, and they're preparing for war. This is what you see going on a daily basis. It's nothing new. So let me go to the phone lines real quick. Please stay on the subject that we're on. Your place in the judgment will go to the 562. You're on the Star and Crescent Report. We say unto you, Assalamu alaikum. 562. Okay, we'll see that. I guess that was a mistake then. All right, but listen, this is what Muhammad says right here. We're going back and forth to these things because we got to play these clips. So we'll go back to, it's coming to me, I believe 222 and 223. Let me turn to him. Okay, 222, 223, brothers. Listen, this is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says right here. Allah comes to take the black slave away from the enemy of the white slaveholder and to join the black slave unto his own kind again. See, Allah comes to do this. Not you, not Ricky, not Ron, not Mike, not none of them. But Allah comes to do this, right? Allah comes to take the black slave away from the enemy white slaveholder and join the black slave unto his own kind again. The enemy white slaveholder hates this, but Allah has the power. This is where you get impatient at. Allah has the power to force the enemy white slaveholder to submit to his will. See, Allah has this power to force him to do it. You just have to have the power to be patient. He goes further and says, it is the will of Allah that the enemy white slaveholder let the black slave go free. Now, regardless to what you see in black America today, regardless to what you see going on, forget what you see and remember what the promise is. God has promised to deliver you at all costs. And these are not the days of America or the days of Yaqub. The Holy Quran teaches you that these are the days of Allah. The Bible says, the days of the Son of Man. And in these days, his will be perfected and made be and stand straight. Okay? So, it is the will of Allah that the enemy white slaveholder let the black slave go free. I don't care how they have you wrapped up. I don't care how they plan, how they plot to keep you as a prey. God's will is that you go free. And so God is going to free you at all costs because that is his will. All right? Are you understanding this? Brothers and sisters, I'm going to play a little clip about what's going on in America and how people are trying to run from America. And then we'll get back to what we were saying on pages 222 and 223 of The Fall of America, okay? I want you to pay close attention to just how bad it is for America. Mr. Peter Schiff says American citizenship is considered the new herpes. I'm serious. You got to listen to this.
So I'm going to talk about one particular article that I read. And this is another example of me getting something right. So for those Peter Schiff critics who are out there that say, I don't really get anything right, I get stuff right. If you remember on this show, I announced, and I can't remember when it was, but I did, when the United States government decided to charge $450 for the form that you need to fill out to renounce your U.S. citizenship. And the form used to be free, and then they decided to charge $450. And at the time, I said, you know, pay it, because this is probably the best deal you're going to see. Because I said, this is just the beginning. That form is going to get a lot more expensive. Well, I just read on Forbes that the United States just increased the cost of that form to $2,350. $2,350. That is a 422% increase. Now, I bet there's no line item in the CPI for that form, right? They're not going to have to include this in the inflation rate, a 422% increase in the cost of renouncing your U.S. citizenship. But $2,350, that's a lot of money. You know, the article points out that that's over 20 times what the average high-income country charges, like Germany, Switzerland, the U.K. They all charge about $100. So when we charge $450, that was already over four times what most advanced wealthy countries charge their citizens for renouncing the citizenship. Now we're more than 20 times. And of course, if they can charge $2,350, they can charge $23,000. There's no limit to what they can charge. Now, they're claiming it's justified because of demand. There's such a backlog. There's so many people that want to renounce their citizenship that, you know, they got to raise the price, which, I mean, to me, it's just, you know, supply and demand. They know a lot of people want to give up their U.S. citizenship, so they're using it as a revenue source. But, you know, there are probably some young people that don't have the $2,350. They'd have to save up to renounce their citizenship. And again, they may jack up the fees even higher. You know, the more desperate people are to get rid of their U.S. citizenship, the more expensive it's going to be. And for some people, it might be so expensive that they're stuck. Right? What if they raise it to $25,000? Some people could never get out. You know, having a U.S. citizenship is going to be like having herpes. You know, you just have it for life. You can never get rid of it. You know, it's almost like, you know, the land of the free has become the land of the slave. I mean, you're born in America, you're a slave to America because you can't give up your citizenship because you can't afford it. Now, a lot of high-income people can afford the $2,350, but that's not the point. If they can charge such an outrageous fee, then they can charge an even more outrageous fee. Now, I also read, too, in this article, it points out that in order to give up your citizenship, not only do you have to pay this fee to buy this form, but if you might have to pay an exit tax, which could be huge, but you also have to prove that you're in compliance with the U.S. tax code for the last 5 years, so you can't have any outstanding tax liabilities. You know, I think eventually you won't be able to give up your U.S. citizenship if you have any outstanding student loans, if there's any student loans you haven't paid, because eventually the people who are going to want to get out of here the most are going to be young people who want to get out from under their student loan obligations, or they want to work where there's opportunity. They want to get out from an oppressive tax regime where the government confiscates so much of their money, particularly if they're going to try to keep the commitments they made to the baby boom. They're going to have to tax the hell out of all the generations that came next, the generation X, Ys, and Zs, whoever they are. These are the guys that are going to want to get out the most, and they're going to be the ones that have the least resources to pay this exit tax, or not the exit tax. They can't even afford the form to renounce their citizenship. They're going to be stuck here, slaves of America, because they can't save up enough money to buy their freedom, right? Just like slaves, I mean, you could buy your own freedom if you could, you know, you save up. There were slaves that bought their own freedom. Well, that's what happens. If you're born into America and you want out, you've got to buy your freedom. It doesn't come to you. You're not born free. You have to buy your freedom. Now, yeah, you can leave America, but you can't get out from under the U.S. citizenship. You still have to pay taxes to the United States. And, of course, once you leave America, if you're still a U.S. citizen, no one's going to want to do business with you. You can't open a bank account anywhere. You're persona non grata.
Persona non grata. Didn't the messenger teach us that this was going to happen to America? Huh? The world with Shauna? And now, there's a scripture that is befitting of this. America, you must remember this. As thou hast done, so shall it be done unto thee. You did us like that in slavery, and now it's being done unto your youth and your middle class and your upper class. And you don't want to let them go, so you are charging them up exorbitant fees and rates and stuff because you know this is the end. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad had already told us these things would happen. So we're not surprised when we hear and see them, because we were already taught divinely by that divine vessel of the divine supreme being. We'll go back to something real quick, and then we'll wrap up the clips with one more clip in just a second, and then we'll bring Brother Minister John in. But we'll go back to 222 and 223, because what we're trying to find out is our place in the judgment, okay? This is the main thing that we are focused on today, our place in the judgment. According to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and according to scripture and the prophets who preceded him, the apostles who preceded him, and the messengers who preceded him, we must know our place in the judgment. So we'll go to the books again. He says, it is the will of Allah that the enemy white slaveholder let the black slave go free. Allah promises, see, now we have a promise from Allah. And remember, as my mom used to always say, God can do everything but lie and fail. So if he promises something, you can rest assured that that promise will be fulfilled, regardless of how bad the situation may look, right? It will be fulfilled. So he says, Allah promises concerning the white slaveholder and the black slave in the Bible, Isaiah 43:6. I will say to the north, give up, and to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from far and my daughters from the ends of the earth, America. Since Allah has now claimed the black slave and given them truth, the truth, Allah has called the black slave who has accepted the truth by his name. The black slave who has accepted the truth of his greatness is being one of the righteous aboriginal nation of his kind belongs to Allah. The book, this is what I keep telling everybody. Everybody gets mad at me because I continue to take them back to what the prophecies say. And you have elders or whatever you want to call, they get mad at me for pointing out to them something that should have been elementary to them. Regardless of what you feel, what you think. Listen what Muhammad says. The book must be fulfilled, wherein it prophesies that he will claim them to be his own, his elect. See, the book got to be fulfilled. It has to be fulfilled. Prophecy has to be fulfilled. We may want something, and we may see because the devil is killing us, and because we're getting impatient with the God, and we've lost focus on what the messenger said, we're trying to do certain things on our own that must be done divinely. And this puts us in opposition to the divine works of the God. Well, I can't see that right now. Well, I don't understand. It doesn't matter. You are one individual in the scope of an entire nation. You understand? You are one individual in the scope of an entire nation of 68 million people. When you look at it from that perspective, that should always put you back into your place. Okay? Listen what he says. At such time as the destruction of America. Now, see, we're at the destruction of America, right? So it's that time, that such time that he said, right? Because we are witnessing the collapse of a dollar, the collapse of our infrastructure, the collapse of our economy, the collapse of our power, the collapse of our power projection, and the collapse of our military and cultural base, right? We see all of that going down right now. So at such time, what time? He says, as the destruction of America. So we bear witness that this is that time. If Allah has not chosen some of the people of America, the black slave, to be his people, there would not have been any flesh saved from America. The Bible, listen to me good. Mark 13:20 teaches us, and except that the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he has chosen, he has shortened the days. And that's why they're telling you that these earthquakes are causing a shortening in the time. God is doing that. All of these things are not happening by accident. When we have a manuscript, a blueprint, a precursor to what would come, and it's telling us what to expect. He goes on. Now, after he tells about this and what Allah wills is, and what must happen, must be fulfilled, and the shortening of the days for the elect's sake, and he points out who the elect is, the black slaves here in America. Listen to what he says right here. All right? Listen to these words closely. It is vital. Do you understand what the word vital means? Because I have to stop and go through these things to make you understand. The word vital, according to Merriam-Webster Dictionary, it means extremely important, needed by your body in order to keep living, very lively or energetic. So all three of those are the perfect descriptions of what we need to hear today. Extremely important, needed by your body in order to keep living, very lively or energetic. So it is vital or extremely important, and it is needed by your body in order to keep living and is very lively or energetic. The black slave must know that this is the time of the judgment of both the white slaveholder and the black slave. See, we have to know this. He goes further and says, the black slave must learn to know his place in the judgment. The place of the black slave is with Allah and his own black people, not with everybody else, not with Scientology, not with those people over there, not with the nationalistic parties, but with Allah and his own black people. The black slave has been deprived of knowledge of his God and his own black people. Now listen to what he says. Allah has come and brought the black slave the truth. If the black slave refuses to accept the truth, he will be destroyed for willingly and knowingly rejecting the truth when the truth has come in his midst. Right? This is where we are. This is where we are leading. And he says, calamity, calamity in the country of America. No secret can remain hidden, for the chastisement of Allah will not let you hide it. As one writer prophesied in the Bible, Isaiah 18:1, woe to the land shadowing with wings. This prophecy is referring to America, which has a cloud of flames shadowing the skies over America almost daily. Well, let us see if calamity is hitting America. Listen here.
Good evening. I'm still reporting on the economy.
Listen to this.
You might have noticed this comparison of the Dow Jones Industrial Average to the slow but steady growth of subscribers to this channel. What that's all about is I'm betting that the rise in the Dow is not going to last much longer. Why? The government tells us that the major economic numbers look good. So am I just exaggerating when I say that our economy only looks good because it's been pumped up on economic heroin, a stimulant that cannot last? Well, this is now becoming clear to leading market makers such as Tad Revell, Chief Investment Officer, Fixed Income Group, TCW Group in Los Angeles, a man who manages over $87 billion in assets. On Friday, he said this on Bloomberg Radio. When you conjure into existence trillions of dollars worth of loanable funds, but no more things to buy with those loanable funds, you end up with exactly what we've seen, which is a bull market in virtually everything, real estate, stocks, and bonds, over the course of the past 5 years.
And so the theory that merely by driving up home prices and driving up stock prices or the value of assets generally, that this will somehow magically turn into an expansion of income is incorrect. You can't grow it the way the Fed is attempting to do it.
Revell went on to point out that in March 2008, just before the crash, unemployment was 4.8% and the stock market was at a peak. But once again, it was all due to a high level of credit creation by the biggest banks. Banks merely lending money they did not have to fund asset inflation, which their best customers were benefiting from. Economic heroin.
A high level of credit creation does encourage spending in the here and now. And to the extent to which that adds to current period consumption, sure. It makes economic statistics in the here and now look better.
But what happens when you live off credit cards? Sure, you can buy a lot of stuff, but eventually you get cut off and your personal finances collapse.
Why would you expect the rules for an entire economy, a whole society, to be different? If you're borrowing money for purposes that have future benefit associated with it, if the money that you borrow actually generates future income and returns, that's a good thing.
For example, the nation's interstate highway system is aging and in need of tens of billions of dollars in repairs. sooner than later, that money must be spent. But how will those repairs be paid for? By borrowing more and more money. Why not simply allow the government to create the money without debt if they are spending it on productive assets that we must spend for no matter what? Why are we forced to borrow it from the biggest banks?
If you're borrowing the money to support current period consumption mm-hmm. or bad investments or merely to drive up the pricing at large in the stock and the asset markets, it's not going to ultimately make your economy sustainable. If you want long-term growth, you need to do it the old-fashioned way. You actually have to save resources, you have to put them to work productively, and you have to use them to expand the efficiency and output of your factories and the skill of your workers. But you can't do it just merely by creating more credit. It does not allow your economy to grow over a long period of time.
This idea is starting to gain traction, not because of its inherent wisdom, unfortunately, but just as we predicted years ago, because there is no other alternative to financial collapse. The Fed has literally run out of ideas. In our next report, we'll look at a new paper in the journal Foreign Affairs, the publication of the Council of Foreign Relations. It goes even farther and recommends a national dividend paid to every citizen to prevent the otherwise inevitable next crash. I'm still reporting on the economy. Good day.
Now, they're telling you that this economy is collapsing. That's a calamity, right? Just 2 days ago, according to the Hines 1555 blog, that there was a massive, massive storm that caused a 50-pile, a car pileup on the interstate in the state of Washington. A massive, massive dust storm. Made the city, one of the cities come to a standstill in the state of Washington. Is that not a calamity? Well, what about what was announced yesterday after Russia announced that they would change their nuclear doctrine, their doctrine against America and NATO? One of the main generals who sits on the Security Council got into a heated discussion with other people in Russia and declared that they should openly tell the world that if NATO moves an inch further towards Russia, Russia would nuke them. And it came out that they wanted to explicitly put this in the doctrine of preemptive nuclear strikes against all Western nations, especially America, right? What about this? Why aren't you seeing this but in the news? But you're hearing about naked photos and the madness that is the Kardashians and all of this other craziness. Why aren't they telling you, as the messenger said, that America, inside her borders, there's the threat of rioting, and outside of her borders, the threat of atomic war? Isn't that what we're seeing? Isn't that what we're hearing? So if we are hearing everything that he's saying, why aren't you listening to him? Why aren't you digging into him? Why aren't you focusing on him? Why aren't you eating his words up? Why aren't you dissecting his words? Why aren't you meditating on his teachings, his example, and his life day and night? Yeah? Because he's the only way out. On that note, let me bring in Brother Minister John Muhammad. Brother Minister, I say unto you, As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum salam. In the name of Allah, the beneficent, the merciful, the one God who came in the person of one master, Farad Muhammad, to whom all praise is due forever. We forever thank Allah and thank Allah and thank Allah for coming and raising up among you and I our beloved leader, teaching guide, most honorable and humble Elijah Muhammad. My beloved brothers and sisters, today we are blessed. We are blessed and we are descendants of our ancestors who prayed to Allah that one day this would happen. We are in the judgment, and your and my place in the judgment coming of Allah in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom all praise is due forever. Our place in the judgment, as he have raised up among you and I a leader and a teacher in the person of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad is teaching us our place in the judgment is to follow the truth of God, because the truth of God have never been taught. The truth of the white man have never been taught. The true history of the white man have never been taught. The truth of the black man in America have never been taught until today. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad is teaching us the truth. The truth will give us what we are looking for in the judgment. What are we looking for in the judgment? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us we are looking for freedom, justice, and equality. But we see none. We have none. But in the judgment, God Almighty, the all-powerful, all-wise God, is able to force it to a head. And now we see America and we see the world at large coming together to do battle over the so-called American Negro, the tribe of Shabazz, God elect. His people that he loves more than he loves the 99. He loved that one and that tribe. And now today, in the light of that, God came and given us and pointed out to us our place in the judgment. Now, what is our place in the judgment? It is to follow truth. It is to follow justice. It is to follow peace. Well, then what is the foundation of that justice? The foundation of the justice is truth. You must have truth. And you and I have not had truth for 400 long years. No one taught us of truth. The truth of the matter is, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us that the white man 6,600 years ago was made on an island called Pilon of Patmos. The white man was made there. That's the truth. He teaches us that the white man came back from the island, and then he went and started trouble in paradise, in heaven. And the righteous round him up and march him across the Arabian desert, strip everything except nakedness around his body and bound his hand, and he went 2,250 miles up into Europe. Now, that's the truth. And he remained there for 2,000 years and became a savage. That is the truth. The foundation of truth, well, I've never been told until today. Now, in the judgment, all of the people running through and for trying to find solution. But what is the basis of the solution? And trust. You must have trust. Trust comes from truth. If you tell people truth, the people will trust that truth, because that truth, as they search it, and they will come back and say it is the truth. So the foundation, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us, that God came to give us the foundation. And Jesus said, you must know the truth. You must know the truth. And what would that truth do? It will set you free. That truth will make you free. But if you don't have that truth, you will never be free. You would always be walking in darkness, in falsehood. You would always be in want. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad teaches us the whole world is looking for this kind of truth. But the white man know the truth, but he's not going to tell you the truth. He's not going to teach you the truth. So now in the judgment, your place and my place is to get behind God's man, whom he breathed into him his inspiration of truth, his inspiration of righteousness. And our place in the judgment is not be evil and cussing and loud and all messed up in the head, craziness, but our place in the judgment is to be righteous in our stand. Is to be righteous. Is to shed off
the old cliche of a heaven way up in the sky and the devil way down in the ground. When the devil is right here on earth, walking to and fro, sitting, eating, flying, lying, killing, kidnapping, raping, robbing, the devil is right here walking up and down the streets. That's the truth. And your and my place in the truth is to submit to a higher power, and that higher power is from Almighty God in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, to whom all praise is due forever. That's our place. And we shall submit to him. And as we submit to him, he will guide us into all truth. He will free us. That truth will free us. And that truth will bring about justice and peace. And that is why everybody in the world today is looking for what? Justice. And the book said, and the Bible said, Isaiah, and in the Bible, Isaiah said, my, said, the truth stand afar off for my people. Look at it. You don't have truth. Justice stands afar off for my people. Freedom. Look at you marching for human rights, civil rights. You're marching, acting the white man. But you and my God have come to give it to us. And all we have to do in the judgment is submit. Submit to Allah. Submit to his messenger. Submit. The truth will set you free. The truth will give you justice and peace. And without that, there can be no peace. And there can be no justice. Only falsehood and mistrust. And you and I have been mistrusting each other for 400 long years, and up just a people or a man who looked like a snake of the grafted type, putting in its appearance. You take the grass snake. He look all prettied up, and you put him in your bosom, and you hug him up. Well, this is the way of some of our people. We have become snakes among our people. You have become wolves among our people. You have become enemies among our people for 30 pieces of silver. For 30 pieces of silver so that you and your family could live well and trample your foot on the others, calling them all kinds of names, and they're dumb enough to sit there and listen to you without even getting up, walking out, or out getting up and saying something. You have bamboozled by their approach. You have become charmed. You have become bitten by their poisonous words. And I say to you, my beloved brothers and sisters, as we look today, do their words come out of their mouths meet their what they are saying? Do the words meet the characteristics of the person? Or does the words meet that which was told before? The enemy of the black man, your and my place is not to follow falsehood anymore. Your and my place is to follow the truth. The truth that God have revealed. The truth that God have put it out in the airwaves. That you hear it coming from the enemy. The white man tells you every day the truth. But you turn a deaf ear to the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. You turn a deaf ear to the white man who tells you the truth. But there could be no justice until truth is established and told. And we have told you, and the messenger, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, have taught us the truth and the history of the white man and the history of the black man. And the history of the gods before. He have brought to us the supreme wisdom of the knowledge of the human family, of the black man, the original man. He have brought it and he have taught it to us. And now we stand in the judgment naked. Naked we are chose us, we will be clothed with the truth of God and the truth of the devil. And righteousness is our stand. My beloved brothers and sisters, the judgment in this world is about to go up in flame, in a fiery flame. And you and I, black Muslims or black so-called American Negroes or the Asiatic black man of America, I say to you, this world is soon to be no more. There's going to be some awful things going on and happening. Do you think that is what's going on now is making you tremble? Well, this is what's coming up in a few days will make your hair turn gray and make your heart faint and make you have an attack and lose your weight in this world. This is a terrible thing, a terrible day is going to happen soon in America and around the world. And God Almighty in the person of Master Farad Muhammad is ushering us in as little chicks from the hen, ushering us in the safety zone. And the Honorable Elijah Muhammad stands in America with his arms outstretched, and he said to you and I, come, my brother, come, my sister, into the safety zone, in the judgment, because our God is raining down fire on the enemy. Our God is opening up the earth and swallowing whole towns and cities and countries. Our God is causing the earth to erupt from beneath and come down and rain down fire from above. Our God now is coming and he's showing you that he comes in all forms of nature and he brings death and destruction when he order it to appear. Our God, our Almighty Allah, is with us. Our God Almighty Allah is forcing the white man to show his nature and look at his nature among the so-called American Negro and around the world. You're fighting. You're marching. You're crying. You're hurting. You're in jail. You're saying, what is wrong? What is wrong? Your place in the judgment. You must come in after rain. You must come in after storm. That's why he said, come out of her, my people. Come out of her civilization. Come out of her culture, her religion, her God, her name. Come out of her and come into Islam as taught to us by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, and we shall know the truth, and the truth shall make us free. So this time I turn it back in the hands of Brother Minister Rashid Muhammad, as I say unto you, As-salam alaykum.
Wa alaikum salam. And I'd like to further go into something. Give us maybe two or three more minutes of this. And brothers and sisters, before I go into this, I do want to say that we do have a live broadcast coming up Saturday with me and Brother Minister John Muhammad of the Star and Crescent Report. It will be live, a live broadcasting coming up Saturday. So check us out then. But also, I want to go back to the subject at hand of what me and Brother Minister John was just talking about your place in the judgment. As Brother Minister John was talking, I was looking down in the message to the black man, and I said, this has to be a law. This has to be a law. So I'm going to read it to you. This is what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad says right here. What should we set our hearts and minds on today? Finding the right path and walking therein to our God Allah and his religion Islam, that he may make a way for us on some of this earth that we can call our own and deliver us from our open enemies, our deceivers, and from evil and filthy doings. See, Allah is going to give us this land on our own, but let's go a little further. The God of Islam demands us to forsake our enemies and their names and religion and all that goes with them, to completely submit to him. See, we got to get that devil back his name, his actions, his ways, his speech, his mannerism. We know that the devil is a gutter talker, a gutter walker. And if we still walk in guttery and talk in guttery and think in guttery, then we have not given him back. I don't care if your name is Abdul Muhammad. If you are walking, acting, and talking, and thinking like the devil, you have not given her back her name. That's why the book says, come out of her. in all ways, shape, and forms. My people, that you be not partakers of her sin, that you receive not of her plagues. It goes further. Muhammad says, listen, brothers and sisters, just give us about 3 or 4 minutes. Listen. He says, the God of Islam demands us to forsake our enemies and their names and religion and all that goes with them and to completely submit to him. He, Allah, has said to me that he will set us in heaven at once. Allah's promise is ever true. Remember what I said, forget your situation. Forget what you think you see. And always be reminded of the promise of Allah. Because he can do everything but lie and fail. So if his promise is true, look to the promise instead of the situation. He goes further and says this. He fails not in his promise. But this race of devils will promise you and will fail to fulfill it. Especially if it is a promise of good. I beg you as a brother and sister of mine, fly to Allah. For the days of the resurrection are not coming. They are here now, and the dead are rising as it is written. Let us repeat this prayer. O Allah, guide me among those whom thou hast guided aright, and preserve me amongst those whom thou hast preserved and befriended, and bless me in whatever thou doest. Grant me and deliver me from the evils of what thou hast judged. Surely thou judgest and none can judge against thee. And he whom thou befriendest is not disgraced. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad further goes and says this. Know that Allah is with us, the believers. And Allah has promised in the Bible and in the Holy Quran that if we believe and put our trust in him, he is sufficient as a protector. That no weapon formed against the true believers will prosper. We are the true believers of Allah. As the Holy Quran teaches, they planned against us. But Allah also has plans, and he is the best of planners. I warn all of you that the devils, hypocrites, and disbelievers will continue trying to turn you away from the truth, so you will have to suffer hellfire with them. The so-called American Negro, my people, are now in a time when they must decide on life or death. The world we have known is on its way out, and it wishes to carry you and me with it, but it will not. This is the right path. Believe in Allah in the person of Master Farad Muhammad, and come follow me, Elijah Muhammad. Brothers and sisters, if you take hold of that handle there, you don't have to worry about it ever giving way. And this is from my heart and from my head. I love my people with an undying passion. And I want to see all of us, even if we disagree on certain points, I want to see all of us rise to the top. And even if that means our lives for yours, that's the way it has to be, then so be it. Brothers and sisters, I love y'all with an undying passion for the liberation of 68 million of our own kind. And may Allah keep and bless you until we next meet again. As-salamu alaykum. Okay? May Allah bless you all.
For information on our next show, please visit trumpetoftruth.wordpress.com and click on the Blog Talk Radio button. Until we converse again, always remember, no matter how low society may have rendered you, the wisdom of the one true God will lift you on high. May God bless and keep you. The Star and Crescent Report was created and directed by Rashid Muhammad, produced by Nicole Muhammad, and hosted by Rashid Hiram, 1555 Muhammad.